It's time for TWiT, This Week in Tech, the Daylight Saving Time edition. Coming up, did Newsweek really catch Satoshi Nakamoto? Google balloons versus Facebook drones? And is Android really more dangerous than any other operating system? It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 448, recorded Sunday, March 9th, 2014. You've been goxed. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients anywhere. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. Even present from an iPad. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter, user ID audible_com. And by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files to the cloud automatically and continually. Plus, access your files anytime, anywhere with a free app. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. And use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for TWIT, This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. A massive studio audience inflated by a bunch of Ouijians. Is that right? No? No?
Nope. Nice try.
Where are you from, sir?
Well, yes, but no, Ouijis.
Ouijis. Ouijians is another planet.
What's Ouija?
We have a bunch of people from Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh.
They're in a program called?
Cross Creative.
And then there's other people who are wondering how all these Scottish people got in here. So we're having a great time.
They managed to get to Petaluma in the first place.
Yeah. And we also want to welcome Ron Richards. Great to have you, Ron.
Thanks.
From All About Android.
Good to be back.
Where else are you from?
By day, I'm at Image Comics.
Oh, you're a comic book guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
That's what I've been doing.
And Ron XO on the chat, on the Twitter chat thing, whatever that's called, the Twitter.
The Twitter and, the Instagram.
I'm not really hip on this stuff the young people use, so thank
kids.
You.
It's just a fad. It's not going to stick around.
Hey, look at that. That's Aaron Newcomb. Good to have you from NetApp and also a regular on Floss Weekly and All About Android and more and more of our shows. Always
that's
good
right.
to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
We're going to get you to do a lot of making projects. We're going to get you on know-how, too.
I've got a bunch of them just all lined up ready for you. So.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
In fact, I showed one of them off on a review I did for BYB. I think it's coming up.
Oh, good.
Maybe next week. So you'll see one of the little projects I'm working on.
Last time you were here, you brought a radio. It looked like an old-time radio, but inside it had, a Raspberry Pi, and it was streaming internet radio on
it. Exactly. It's an old Philco radio hooks up to my media library at home and streams all the old-time radio. It's a lot of fun.
You do all the things I wish I had time to do. I'm so jealous
That's what
those
making
kind of
is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's stuff nobody will ever do because who has time
That's
for
right,
that?
Exactly.
Except
apparently
NetApp doesn't demand much of Aaron. It's nice to have you. And, of course, John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.org. And, of course, noagendashow.com.
Noagendashow.com. We did a show today.
This would be the second show of the week.
Uh-huh. We did one on Thursday.
Thursday and Sunday.
At 9 live.
What did you and Adam Curry talk about this morning? I bet you it has something to do with a guy named Satoshi Nakamoto.
Actually, we didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why we didn't talk about
How long? Okay. How long before Newsweek recants?
Mm.
So here's the story. And I don't know if they will or not, but it's a little peculiar. Newsweek, for the first time in a long time, is going back to the print. They gave up print a couple of years ago, right, saying we can't make any money on this. This was one of the two news magazines everybody got. There was the Newsweek family or the Time family.
Don't forget U.S. News and World
Report.
And
then there was the weirdo down the street who got U.S. News and World Report. And we were a Newsweek family, read it religiously my entire childhood. It was a classic, great news
that
magazine.
That explains it.
Yeah, liberal. Time is a little more conservative. I don't know what U.S. News and World Report was. Libertarian?
Well, I don't know what it was either.
Slant on that.
It was more political news.
Yeah. In any event, Newsweek decided to go back into print and did it with a bang, a cover story in which
They claim they unearthed the real Satoshi Nakamoto, who, oddly enough, lives in Temple City, California, in Southern California, under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah, well, it was a stretch.
Apparently, all you had to do was look in the phone book and you would have found
him. Sometimes it's easier said than done.
Leah McGrath Goodman wrote the story with a lot of, she claims and says, Newsweek says, a lot of help from forensic something or others, people who were specializing in this kind of identity research. On the face of it, it's a fairly believable story. There's some odd bits.
She stands by her story, says CBS.
Newsweek stands by her story as well. But a lot of people say this is crapola. Gavin Andresen, who we've interviewed, he's the head of the Bitcoin Foundation, didn't exactly deny it, but he said he was very sorry he gave the interview to Leia. I would say there are three camps on this. There is one camp that says it's just wrong. It's just false. There's no way this is true. There's another camp who says it's true or could be true, but they should never have doxed the man. That's what Gavin said. That they, in effect, having outed him, had
ruined
made this guy's
life
untenable.
Yeah.
And it's true. He's now being hounded. And then there's the third.
You could have fun with that, though. This is the disappointment. I mean, if you're going to be hounded like this and out of the blue, I don't know if everyone saw that Woody Allen movie where he's in Italy and the guy all of a sudden's famous for no apparent reason.
Hysterical.
And then he's not famous and he's irked by it. You could have a lot of fun with this. You could sell product. You could get some publicity. You could wear a sign. You could wear a Pepsi thing and get paid.
Marketing.
Yep. You know, a little marketing.
So and then there's a third camp, and I think I might be in this camp that believes it.
You believe it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and if you read, you should read the story. I think a lot of people talking about the story didn't read it. Leah McGrath Goodman talks about walking up to the end of the sun-baked driveway, and there is Satoshi Nakamoto. Two police officers are with her because he immediately called the cops when she showed up at his doorstep. The police officer from the sheriff's department at Temple City says, "What do you want to ask this man about? He thinks if he talks to you, he's going to get into trouble." She says, "I don't think he's in any trouble. I'd like to ask him about Bitcoin. This man is Satoshi Nakamoto." "What?" the police officer says. "This is the guy who created Bitcoin?"
I don't believe that any police officer would have a clue about this.
Exactly.
Okay, admittedly.
Exactly
right. That was a problem with me.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a... And then he knows he's rich because it says he looks like he's living a pretty humble life. If he is the Satoshi Nakamoto, it's believed he has about $400 million in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. At least the address associated with Satoshi Nakamoto has that much Bitcoin. I think it's possible. I mean, a large number of real world people know about Bitcoin, maybe even know the name, because I've talked about it a lot on the radio in LA. A lot of people have been talking. It's an interesting story.
And they've used it as a plot device on The Good Wife on CBS. I mean, like it's I feel like it's on the fringes.
It's
of
used
mainstream
in Almost Human. It's actually the coinage they use in the show. That's.
Yeah. Is that you're right. Yeah, when they have USB drives.
Right, give me a look at Bitcoin.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it's a little odd. Nakamoto's living with his mother, his 92-year-old mother.
You know, it's Asian.
He's 64, apparently showing no value, none of his $400 million value. But there are some...
He doesn't want the mom to get hold of the money.
it's all circumstantial, but it's good circumstantial. Like, for instance, he did work for the federal government in... a related field. Mm-hmm. He stopped working for them right after 9/11 in 2001. He was somewhat libertarian. He had
somewhat
done a lot.
Libertarian, yeah. Whatever that
is. He hated government. He hated taxes.
No idea.
He is a math whiz, according to a lot of people. Graduated from Cal State Polytechnic, Cal Poly in Pomona, California, with a degree in physics. He's got the means. He's got the motive because he's anti-government. At one point in the story, they say because he spent a lot of time buying his trains internationally, he was really frustrated with the tariff system, the amount of customs that
And didn't she stalk him on the train forums or something? There was some in the article, I think she said that she was corresponding with him about trains, trying to figure out, is this the guy? And I thought that's kind of odd, but okay.
The other thing that...
It was a good story for her.
Yeah.
It's a good story for Newsweek.
One,
I mean, what a great
around.
Way to come
she's
back into print.
She's actually an interesting character.
Do you know her?
Well, I'm one first connection on LinkedIn, if that means anything, but I've never met her. She was one of the people doing the stories about the child abuse on Jersey Island. And she was actually locked up probably a year or two before that friend of Glenn Greenwald's was captured at the, you know, and kind of.
His boyfriend.
Boyfriend. This happened to her, only it was like she was in there for hours, days or something.
And so she's you would think a good investigative
reporter.
But
she seems to me, and I think the reason it's kind of no agenda-ish, but I don't want to get too much into it, but I get the sense that she is really not about the pedophilia or even this. She's got something to do with banks. She is like targeted, I think, and that's why I think she got onto this, because this is a banking issue.
She's interested in covering finance.
And I think they stopped her in England because the banking of Jersey and Guernsey and these other Channel Islands, which aren't even owned by England, they're crazy protectorates of the Queen specifically, are banking havens for people to hide their money.
What do you say, Ouija's? Yeah, they're nodding.
Sounds about
we know all about that. So
they're going to be their own country if they're not careful.
When she confronts this guy, who, by the way, he's changed his name legally to Dorian S. Nakamoto.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But there is some
like
question.
Dorian, doesn't
if you're if you are really Satoshi Nakamoto and you took a lot of went to great pains to be anonymous, does it seem likely that you would still use your name, or you would have used your own name when you invented it?
I don't know.
He did give an interview. So he never tells Goodman, "I am the guy." He says, "I don't do that anymore."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now he's saying he talks to the AP, gives them an interview, saying, "I meant I don't do any of that kind of coding anymore." He says he tells the AP, "I never heard of Bitcoin until my son said that a reporter contacted him 3 weeks ago." He was saying, "I'm no longer involved in engineering, not I'm no longer involved in Bitcoin." He's denied it all to AP.
Yeah. But he took the meeting to get a free lunch.
Well, he wanted the lunch.
Like a cheap guy.
Hasn't had a full-time job since 2001. Gavin Andreessen estimated, looking at the code, that this was a 2 or 3 year in private project before it went public, meaning he would have had to start around 2004, 2005, maybe even as long ago as 2001.
I think he's hiding something. I'll be in your camp. I think this is the guy. I think he's hiding something. Is there something he doesn't want to get out? He's probably got a huge stash of money.
He's got
$400 million.
$400 million, we think.
There's something's fishy about this whole thing, which was never actually even speculated upon in the story.
It's completely reasonable that at this point he'd say, no, it's not me, because he's really being hounded.
No, he's actually, they got paparazzi on him now.
He graduated from Cal Poly, changed his name to Dorian Prentice Satoshi Nakamoto, and hasn't used the name Satoshi since then. So maybe he thought he was kind of being coy by using Satoshi.
Hiding in plain sight, not a bad idea.
She did a lot of background work on this and really tried hard, but what I don't think is she found a smoking gun. It's all circumstantial. And it's very circumstantial. His name is Satoshi Nakamoto.
Well, yeah, and the article says that there, in 2008, there was a 9-page proposal on the internet about electronic cash that was attributed to the name and email of Satoshi Nakamoto.
That was the originating message.
Right, yeah. So,
and what happens, Gavin Andreessen, and by the way, go back and watch our triangulation interview with him, because he's talked about, he's the only guy who's ever corresponded with Nakamoto by email. He talked about how the reins were kind of handed off to the Bitcoin Foundation.
How is this? Bitcoins can be divided up by 8 decimal places with the smallest units called Satoshis.
Yeah, but that's later. They came up with
But still, even then, if it's...
It's a Satoshi. Right, how many Satoshis would you like? I think he has the means. I think he has the motive. But what you lack is the smoking gun that says
he's stayed hidden this long. You might as well... The guy's no slouch about it.
So what camp are you in? John, you're in the camp...
I'm taking your side.
You think it's true?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think it's true. In fact, I mean, his brother apparently implied it in the article, right? They got a quote that said, he's kind of a, well, I can't say that word, but it says he's kind of a blank.
He's a jerk. You know,
he's a jerk. That's a good way to put it. He's a jerk. And his life was a complete blank for a while. You're not going to get him to admit it. He'll deny everything. He'll never admit to starting Bitcoin. That's what his brother says about him. So, I mean, that's, for me, I mean, if his brother's saying that, then obviously his brother knows something, right? So I think absolutely it's him. He just doesn't want to admit it.
For some reason.
It's for sure that if there is another Satoshi Nakamoto, or it's a group of people, they're not going to step up and say, "Oh, no, it's me."
Right, no.
So there's nobody going to confirm or deny this.
I think,
given the weirdness that is associated with Bitcoin and just all the like the with the recent hacks,
such
and
a
the,
great
and,
story.
And the Singapore murder.
Is it murder? Yeah. Or is it suicide?
I don't know. It seems
another great mystery.
It seems and all these weird little mysteries are happening associated with Bitcoin. I don't blame him to try to deny it.
He doesn't want
to
get killed.
Yeah, exactly. It's. But that said, I can't imagine Newsweek would go back to print and run it if it wasn't extremely vetted. I mean, journalism still has some sort of checks.
Yes. And, you know, isn't that owned by Bloomberg?
Is it owned by Bloomberg? Really? Yeah. I wonder. I mean, Newsweek.
No, I guess it's Business Week. That
Michael Isikoff worked there.
I don't know who owns Newsweek.
It used to be owned by the Washington Post. I don't know who owns it
now. I'll look it up.
But it was for a long time considered a very, very reputable source.
Really?
I don't know if it still is. Yes. I know you read. Huh. U.S. News and World Report. Well, who read that? That was just weird. I think it was political. I think that from what we know about this guy, he's the kind of guy who might have done it. How about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think it could be, but I think I agree with you. There's something fishy here. Like, you know,
was it wrong of Newsweek to put a picture of his house on the? On the article, too.
That's a little bit much.
Yeah. Was it wrong of them to even try to find out who he is?
That house is so generic.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere in Southern California.
No, it's in Temple City. I got the address if you want it.
Let's go visit him.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the reporters know where it is now because they were crowding around the house immediately.
Worked for Hughes Aircraft and Defense and Electronic Communications out of college. He apparently was brilliant. The kind of guy who would show up in an interview, according to his brother, and tell the interviewer he's an idiot and then prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like that.
Bill Gates style.
The company he worked for, L3 Communications, this was part of RCA, was doing defensive electronics and communications for the military, government aircraft, and warships, but it was classified, says the president of the company, and I can't really talk about it. His ex-wife said he didn't talk much about his work, sometimes took on military projects independent of RCA, moved back to California in 87, where he worked as a computer engineer for a communications and technologies company or companies in the Los Angeles area.
Maybe the whole thing is some sort of NSA scam and he was contracted to do it. That's
he works for the government a lot.
And he won't say anything. He's a government guy, government contractor. God knows what's going on with this Bitcoin. I don't trust
him. Goodman writes, a libertarian, Nakamoto encouraged his daughter to be independent, start her own business, and, quote, not be under the government's thumb, according to his daughter. He was very wary of the government taxes and people in charge. He would keep his office locked, says his daughter, and we would get into trouble if we touched his computer. He was always expounding on politics and current events. He loved new and old technology. He built his own computers and is very proud of them. It could be anybody in our audience.
Mm-hmm.
He moved back to New Jersey and worked as a software engineer for the Federal Aviation Administration in New Jersey after 9/11, doing security and communications work. Very hush-hush. After that contract ended, back to Temple City. And then no job ever after that.
That's weird.
That's weird.
I mean,
because he was working on Bitcoin.
Right, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it says in the AP interview, it says the nearest Nakamoto has come to working on a financial system, he said, was a project for Citibank with a company called Quatron, which provided real-time stock prices to brokerage firms. I mean, that's pretty – I mean, if you're doing software engineering in that kind of environment, that's pretty good background, I would say, to come up with a –
I don't know how much he had to be an economist or a financial expert.
No.
He had to be a math wizard.
Yeah, it's a math thing.
Yeah. But if you're writing applications for this vertical, for the financial vertical,
you need to understand.
You've got some experience.
What currency is, why, for instance, you'd want a limited money supply, which Bitcoin has. Yeah. Why he did some brilliant things, makes it more and more difficult to generate Bitcoins as the CPU power doing it gets more sophisticated. I mean, he really did some interesting things, although. Andreessen says that 70% of the code has been rewritten since. It's the kind of thing, I think, more and more as I think about it, that would be written by kind of a crazy loner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Who lives with his mom.
Lives with his mom.
Yeah. I mean, to me, when I heard this, I was like, hey, this fits the profile, for me anyway, exactly, as I would think this person would be.
Yeah. When his daughter says... He's very wary of government interference in general. When I was little, there was a game we used to play. He would say, pretend the government agencies are coming after you. And I would hide in the closet.
That's what I play with my kids.
It's very obvious.
Wait a second. It's like I'm playing with my kids. That's what a game.
The most damning testimony comes from his kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
let's pretend the government's coming.
Brother. I got an idea, kids.
His kids and his brother. His family. Basically, his family turned the guy in.
Except his mother.
Busted.
His family's giving him up.
Newsweek is owned by IBT Media now.
Okay.
Which is International Business Times. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. So there you go.
So I did read on Secret, though, that the guy said, I work for Newsweek and we're about to recant the story. Take it as you.
On Secret.
People lie. People lie so bad on Secret. Anyway, I think it certainly the story of the week and fascinating. I don't know if it matters in terms of
what factoid is in there that would cause them to recant it. Was she lying?
She well, for them to recant it, she'd have to say, "Yeah, I made it all up.
I made this part up."
I don't think so.
And I think you can demonstrate that all this. I mean, you know, she's got her notes. Newsweek very clearly defended her and said we stand behind the story. Fascinating stuff. Now, meanwhile, the CEO of a Bitcoin exchange in Singapore found dead. That was a while ago. It's only surfaced now, February 28th. Yep. Police in Singapore say they believe there was no foul play. Autumn Radke was, in fact, an American, 28 years old.
No foul play, but the death is unnatural, which means an accident, misadventure, or suicide.
Suicide, probably, right?
Yeah, bull crap.
Last month, she linked to an article on entrepreneurs suffering depression.
Oh, it's the old classic.
Right.
Somebody killed him.
You're saying the government.
You think it was murder.
Yeah, what you do is.
Why didn't say it was the government? Who knows who it was? It could have been anybody. Mobsters.
Could have been anybody.
Russian mob. Who knows?
You see, with Bitcoin, you don't know. That's the thing. Is that,
don't know anything.
That's what's so weird
about
it.
It's a terrible situation. I wouldn't even
own it. It's the best damn story we've had in years.
It's amazing, but there's no basis in anything that you can trust.
It's like a movie. It's like we're watching a movie in real life.
It will be a movie.
It will be, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Hackers have now, Mt. Gox, of course, one of the most well-known Bitcoin exchanges, claimed a massive loss due to hackers, went bankrupt, declared bankruptcy, and holding a lot of Bitcoins, other people's Bitcoins.
I expect somebody else to wash up dead on shore.
Bitcoin community maybe not so happy about him. On Sunday, hackers took over the Reddit account and personal blog of Mt. Gox's CEO, Mark Karpeles, to post an angry screed alleging the exchange he ran had kept some of that money they said was stolen and that it was fraud. And now they have a new term called you've been goxed.
Been goxed.
Jeez.
Okay.
Well, just because you can hack Reddit doesn't mean you know anything else. They did post a 716 megabyte file that they said comprised stolen data from Mt. Gox's servers and included a spreadsheet of a million trades, a file that purports to show the company's balances in 18 different currencies, a back office application that shows all of this. I don't know. Interesting story.
I mean, the hack, the Mt. Gox story, I mean, that is a lot of money. If you look at the
they're not the only, though. Yeah. They're not the only Bitcoin exchange to have been have lost money and to have gone out of business.
That's a lot
as a
of
result.
Money, though.
So they're saying it's roughly, at the time of the filing, it was roughly $474 million and about $28 million in cash is unaccounted for.
Wow.
Like, how does that amount of money, like, that's what freaks me out about Bitcoin. And
it's just bits. It's
yeah,
easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
It could take seconds to transfer that.
Sure.
I can't get in my wallet. They may have some of mine. I don't know.
They probably do.
Bastards. It is a great story. It's not exactly a tech story, but it is. It's a new world story because it's a non-governmental currency created by computers for use on the internet in an anonymous fashion. And since the only anonymous form of money today is cash and is rapidly being phased out, it makes sense that somebody who doesn't like government.
And it opens up all these things about taxable and whether, you know, if you've got all this Bitcoin, do you have to report that?
Who here has any Bitcoin?
I don't have any.
I got 7. How much do you have?
I almost bought some and I didn't.
I never bought them. These were donations. Thank you, everybody. How much do you have?
I don't have any.
What?
What would I want a Bitcoin for?
Curry's got 20.
He's got a bunch, but I don't know if it's 20.
Somebody said 20.
They're worth about $650 each these days.
It goes up and down.
Yeah, it goes up and down.
You know who's got a ton? Steve Gibson. He did Bitcoin mining early on, like the first day.
That's the way to go.
Ching, 50 Bitcoin in his pocket.
Yep.
worth at one point more than $75,000. You should have cashed it in.
Really, the window for Bitcoin has passed.
Magic Kaiser is going to $100,000 a coin.
But now,
the Winklevi, I think $40,000 a coin is what the Winklevi say.
I'd sell there.
By the way, they are buying their trip into space on Virgin Galactic with Bitcoin.
Yep. Yeah, I heard that.
The trip they're never going to take.
You think that'll never happen?
That's what I'm thinking. They have liability problems. Insurance is going to be ridiculous. It's going to cost more than the flight.
Yeah.
No, the future is Dogecoin, isn't it? Like, haven't we moved on from Bitcoin?
Enough of that, Doge. I don't want to see hear another. Apparently, we're Dogecoin mining on every computer in the building. No, if we stop doing that, we got all the Dogecoin we need. It's my retirement plan. I'm going to walk out the door here. They're going to say, here's 50 Dogecoin. Good luck. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
See you later. Our show today, we're going to talk more, lots more news. But first, a word from our friends at Citrix who do that great go-to meeting, the powerfully simple way to get your meetings with coworkers and clients anywhere. Not all meetings are planned by any means. A lot of times you got to have a last-minute meeting. There's last-minute opportunities, work emergencies, ideas you just got to discuss right now. GoToMeeting's great for that. Even if you have people working from different offices or on the go, with GoToMeeting, you know, you've already got it. You fire up a meeting. You can literally start one in seconds from an iPad, from an iPhone, from an Android tablet or device, from any kind of computer. All of a sudden, you're meeting. You're on the same page because you're sharing the screen. You see each other face-to-face, eye-to-eye. It is a great way to meet and collaborate online. I know teams that keep GoToMeeting running 24/7. Well, when there's anybody in the office, because, you know, you pay one low flat monthly rate for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. I love GoToMeeting. We use it here for all our meetings, and I invite you to sign up right now from your computer or your mobile device. You'll be up and running in seconds. Share your screen, turn on your webcam, GoToMeeting. It saves you time and money and lets you work far smarter. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. I have one request, one favor to ask. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and then when it asks you, where you see that link that says promo code, click it and add the word TWIT just so that they know that's where you heard about it. GoToMeeting.com. Do any of you suffer from SSXSW FOMO?
Not that I know of.
I'm flying right after the show. I'll be down there.
I can't look at my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. Everybody's drunk, apparently. Yeah. And Secret's full of drunk people at Southwest.
What are you hanging out at Secret all the time? Is that the
Have
deal?
You used Secret?
No.
It's not the first of its kind, but I think for some reason it's the best. It's an iOS app that allows you to share anonymously. But the reason it works better than something like Whisper is because it looks at your contacts. And then anybody who shares from your contact list is a friend. Anybody who's a friend of theirs is a friend of a friend. So it makes you go, ooh, I wonder who said that.
And there's some discussion. And there's the ability for commenting and discussion.
Commenting is good. It's also anonymous.
Yep.
And you each get a unique icon. So you hear a lot of things in comments like, hey, wine cup, that's a good idea. Because people are talking to the icons.
Yep.
And then if it's you, then the comments, there's a crown. So you know that it's...
The original poster.
I thought for a while it'd be a great source because it's everybody in Silicon Valley is using it. It'd be a great source for like.
I'm not using it. Well, not I mean everybody.
Everybody who's younger than 25.
Oh, those guys. And they're so important with their gossip. Crowd. God knows.
It turns out a lot of my friends are pooping.
They're pooping.
And now it seems to be like the big thing. Say, I'm pooping.
It's like Twitter back in 2007.
I don't really want to know that. Thank you. And then there's a lot of phony stuff like this guy. You know, people say, I work for XYZ company. We're about to be sold, and it's all BS.
Right.
And then for some reason, there's a great fascination with Mike Arrington, Kevin Rose.
That's because those are the two. They probably have all their guys on there.
It's probably all their friends. Maybe it's just my secret stream. Yours might be different. Yours might be very different. Why did I bring that up? Oh, South by Southwest. So we didn't go. We went 3 years in a row. It was a lot of fun. It's a great party, but I don't think there's a lot of
it's content. A party. It's a big
Snowden
party.
Snowden is going to be on in a panel via Skype.
Yeah, they already had Assange, and the thing didn't work. So
oh, really? Because it was a huge crowd.
They had half of them left. Did you read the reports on it?
No, I didn't.
Half of them left because the Skype was breaking up.
Oh, gee, that never happens here.
Yeah.
Last week it did, but it apparently
happens all the time. No, I'm being facetious.
It's getting worse. the Skype.
I think Microsoft has not been the best steward of Skype. I'll agree with you on that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing out on some good parties, but I don't think there's a lot of news.
So a friend of mine who works in the at an ad agency in New York was like, "Oh, some of my coworkers are there. I'm kind of jealous. It seems like a great place for, you know, for advertising and for marketing and all that sort of stuff." And I was just
new to the biz?
No. And I said, "Oh, I hate to be that guy." But that's kind of why I stopped going. It's you know, like, it, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was a place where, you know, it was kind of where Foursquare got anointed with Twitter, like all this sort of, it was this moment of like energy and excitement, and here are new kind of applications and new kind of uses for them. And now it's marketing activations pop-up shops and things like that.
Yeah, so. They got too successful.
Yeah.
And people, everybody wants to go, and now it's just, they're just catering to the crowds.
You see the prices of the tickets?
Is it really expensive?
A couple grand.
Really?
Wow. For the all-purpose platinum.
It's very much about marketing. You know, Samsung has the Blogger Lounge.
Yep. It's all activations.
Fantastic. Yeah. The Blogger Lounge. Yeah. That's where I want to go.
But social media is full of like people going, I'm inside. And a lot of people say, how do I block Spotify? Anybody has an SXSW tag, block that. Vine, lots of videos. Although I really was more interested in Khloe Kardashian's first Vine. Apparently, she posted a video of herself getting rubbed down with lotion while topless.
Where's this?
I'm looking for it right now.
It's at the bottom of the page, actually.
We scroll, is it?
Yeah,
can I play it or is it safe?
It'll auto-play.
Ron knows where it is. Yeah.
She seems to be enjoying herself.
Well, I did my research. That's what I'm just saying.
So when you go to appear on a television show, I've done a few TV shows, and I think this is not... But anyway, she's going to be on Chelsea Lately. Apparently, the makeup artist is rubbing her down with lotion. Is that... I never had that at Live with Regis and Kelly. They never rubbed me down with
lotion.
Don't
they do that here, though?
Yeah, here we'll do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There you go. There it is.
There it is.
All the way at the bottom.
Yeah. So there's no real...
Yep. So
that is just weird.
What I thought was... I mean...
But it turns out that blonde doesn't even work there.
I think this is all part of keeping up with the Kardashians. She only has 22,000 followers.
You think it's a publicity stunt,
Leo? She needs a few more.
Well, holy crap. I would have never thought of such a thing.
I don't even know. I shouldn't. Why am I even?
You shouldn't even be doing that. We got good stories.
What I found interesting was that this was her announcement that she's no longer on Keek, but is going to move to Vine.
Is that how you pronounce it? Keek?
I guess. K-E-K.
I've been saying Kick.
Kick.
What's Keek?
But I think you're right. I think it's Keek.
Keek?
Yeah.
It's a messenger app.
K-E-K?
It's the one that didn't get $16 billion.
K-E-E-K.
No, it's K-I-K.
No, K. Well, she said. Well, she's the word Keek. Maybe she misspelled it.
I thought it was.
She's a moron.
Yeah, but my kids have that on their phone.
It's K-I-K. Your kids have it.
No. Keek.com is quick. It's basically Vine. It's a Vine.
Vine.
She was on Keek.
Yeah, she was on Keek.
I'm on Kook.
Now she's moving to Vine.
Julian Assange. Tells South by Southwest, NSA is a rogue agency, and then Skype died. Coincidence?
Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah. He said that people power is the key to rolling back the power of the NSA and other surveillance agencies.
Yeah,
he's, of course, everybody knows he's the guy who founded WikiLeaks. And he cannot leave the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Jeez.
He is holed up because he'll be arrested
immediately. They could have snuck him out somehow.
I saw Argo.
You know,
they could do that.
Here's what I would do. Here's the way I would do it. You get a double, a stunt double of him. He kind of sneaks in so nobody notices. And the guy looks exactly the same. You bring out the Julian Assange to give one of his public speeches just, you know, behind the door with a microphone with a group because he's got something to say. And then he says, I need some water. He moves out. The stunt double takes over. The stunt double's now up there looking. And now they dress him up in some sort of wig and they shave his head or whatever. And they sneak him out as one of the people that worked there. And then they rush him to the airport, and he's out of there. I don't understand.
How does he get through the airport?
In a car.
It's not the issue. It's where the hell does he go?
Once he's out.
That's the issue.
He's got to use his passport sometime.
Yeah.
He could go to Ecuador.
Right.
Well, he says it's like being in prison, being in the Ecuadorian embassy.
He should have escaped by now.
He's not apparently trying. The food is excellent.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
They're taking care of him.
If you want to be holed up somewhere.
And they eat a lot of manioc, by the way.
He says that the British security has spent $8 million. He's been there since 2012, June 2012. They have spent $8 million surveilling him so that he won't do exactly what John says.
Money. You really got to wonder what the Ecuadorians are thinking. They're like, God, this guy just won't leave. Like, we let him in. He needed, it was raining.
They're making it less appealing. He says it's like the SS in the South by interview. He says it's a bit like prison.
I hope they let him shower.
The UK government is, he says it's very bureaucratic.
He always uses the last of the milk. It's like he's just like the worst house
drinks
ever.
Drinks out of the, yeah, exactly. Out of the
puts,
bottle.
He puts the carton back into the refrigerator.
He puts the empty carton back.
Assange! Hello, Julian.
Who ate my Chinese food leftovers? Assange!
Oh, Assange. I hate you, Assange.
Worst roommate ever.
Now, a member of Congress says, because when is the, is it today or is it tomorrow, the
tomorrow.
Interview with Snowden?
It's tomorrow at 11.
Kansas Representative Mike Pompeo. Just begging to be mocked. He probably was mocked in high school. Says, you know, don't do it. Back out of that South by interview. He's deeply troubled by this interview. It'll be Monday, 11 a.m. Central Time with Chris Segoyan, who is a really great security guy. Actually, I love Chris. He's the principal technologist of the ACLU. We've been trying to get Chris on triangulation. He's Sal Segoyan's brother. Sal is well known at Apple for the being the... Apple Talk or Apple Script guy. Chris Segoyan, Snowden, Ben Wisner from the ACLU will be moderating. Snowden is expected to answer audience questions. A virtual conversation. That would be worth going to South by just for that.
And they're not
going
to kill it. I mean, despite what this congressman says, I mean, this is why this is an attraction for people to come to South by. I mean,
the congressman released, did a press release nice. Calling Snowden a traitor. And he should not be given a chance to speak.
I mean, this is posturing on the congressman's side.
That's very convenient.
I mean, if the government really wanted to kill it, they would.
They could.
It wouldn't be a press release.
They might kill the Skype connection.
Right. One thing you don't want to do if you're at South by Southwest, you're not supposed to use Uber, according to the Austin Police Department. Only use permitted transportation services, they say. Apparently, Austin police thinks that Uber is illegal.
Well, because of Austin, because they've got this ridiculous restrictions around cars. That basically,
every city does.
If you want to hire a car in Austin, you need to agree to a 30-minute engagement window, and it's $55 minimum fee.
Wow.
And the whole point of like UberX is to get from point A to point B for like $7. So it doesn't
apparently
work.
Apparently, the rates for Uber in Austin right now are way like in plus 100.
Surge pricing.
Oh, don't get me started on surge pricing. It rains a drop in the city and surge pricing goes through the roof.
Use Uber a lot.
I don't have a car. I live in the city. I Uber and Lyft are my ways. I get around the city. Yeah.
You guys have probably talked about the Uber lawsuit before. What do you guys think about that?
The lawsuit by
the woman that's suing because she said they got in an accident and Uber, the guy was looking at his phone.
Where's my next
and
fare?
It's Uber's fault, apparently, that he was looking at his phone.
I remember last time we were at South by, we took pedicabs that were sponsored by Uber. Yep.
Well, that's how Uber's getting around it. So they sponsor pedicabs. They're making UberX service free as a promotional way. Mm-hmm. And then Uber Black actually has the $55 minimum. And so that's how they're getting around it. But
well, speaking of lawsuits, Aereo is now shutting down in portions of Utah and Colorado because they were denied relief from a preliminary injunction by a court, the district court there. Broadcaster suing to put Aereo out of business. Aereo is the Barry Diller company that makes these little dime-sized... No. You rent a dime-sized antenna and an array, and you can get over-the-air broadcasts on your iPad.
It's very cool.
It's really cool. Works very well. Department of Justice has filed a brief siding with broadcasters at the Supreme Court. Now, this is the Supreme Court case. This is a different another case. Saying that Aereo is clearly infringing on the copyright of broadcasters. A lot of copyright experts say that's complete bogosity. Makes no sense. Supreme Court will hear that case next month.
I don't see how it's any different than Sling.
Well, that's what Aereo says, and I kind of agree with him. They say you're just renting this antenna. Why can't we rent you an antenna? The antenna picks up local broadcasts.
You know as well as I do, specious.
That's specious?
Well, the whole thing's a scam. I mean, it's designed to have a great argument, but if you look at it in reality, it's like, come on. It's, you know, these guys are just found a trick to get around the law.
But, nevertheless, it does get around the law.
Yes, it does.
I admit that it's a trick, but it works. I mean, I don't see how you can say that, well, the federal court in Utah caused the shutdown. In fact, somebody sent me his email from Aereo saying we have to shut down the service because The district court in Utah says, 10th Circuit says it's illegal. At least, they're going to have a court case, mm-hmm. but the preliminary injunction stands.
I'm all for it because I think it'd be cool. What I'd like to see is they have these antennas all over the place so I could just get New York
right.
Local stations.
That would be
and
wrong.
And then switch to Chicago.
But that would be wrong.
Why? I would have that be my antenna. See, what's the difference between I live in New York and I've got my antenna on the array over here down the block, or I have my antenna in New York and I live in California? It's still my antenna.
They don't do that, and the reason
that's
is
what
that
they
would,
should do if
I
they're
going
to go all
but
the way.
The reason they don't do it is because then it's clearly, I think,
it's not clear anymore. Clearly,
that's how cable companies resident got that started. Area. You're renting an antenna.
What difference does it make? What if I'm okay? Let's say. There's arguments. I know what you're saying. I just don't. I'm not at the top of my game here, so I can just nail you.
What are you on NyQuil? You
no, I'm on aspirin. Oh. Doesn't take much with me. That's why I don't drink. Anyway,
yeah,
I don't see. Drink. I do not see the difference. I think that's the specious part of the argument. If I'm down the street and I'm renting an antenna from these guys and they're running it down the internet. And what if I move a block further away, then another block further away? Now I'm right at the border of the city where I could not get a reception, and I move a block away. So you telling me that one block away, now it's illegal, and then a block in, it's legal? This is bull crap.
Yeah, you're right. That shouldn't make any difference. And I think the Justice Department is really showing that they're in the pockets of broadcasters when they make this amicus brief saying, I know copyright. I'm the Justice Department, and I say that's a violation of copyright. It's not. It's BS.
Yeah. Because it's an established.
You're still watching the ads, right? It doesn't take the ads out, right?
No, it doesn't.
That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah.
They're double dipping.
Yeah.
If you're watching the ads, you're watching the ads. Now, they will make the argument that what their argument is, it should be racketeering. It's the networks that don't like this idea because they say the following. You're in New York. We're giving you New York ads. If you're living in Connecticut or, let's say, California and you're watching New York ads, that doesn't do us any good, but it also hurts the local affiliates of ABC, right. NBC, CBS because they are losing money because they don't get to sell ads. And so this is a scam. This is a racketeering deal. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I mean, that's why the local cable companies carry the local stations, right?
I think what it is that the CBS, Fox, and the other stations that are networks that are suing want the cable revenue. They want both the ad revenue and the cable revenue. Fox has said, we'll just take our stuff off broadcast if that's what happens. We want the cable revenue. Mm-hmm. They want ad revenue and the cable revenue. But this was the old – this was – right? Remember? You put an antenna up. You get TV. You don't pay for it. You watch the ads. That's how it works. It's like me saying, I want to chart – hey, this is a good idea.
What is it?
I charge your ISP for access. If you want to run Twit Comcast, you better give me some money.
It worked for Netflix.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It works for Netflix.
It works the other way around.
The Netflix thing is exaggerated.
Yeah. Actually, we had a good conversation. You probably didn't hear because I don't think you listen to the show. But we had a good conversation a couple of weeks ago. I thought a guy made a very – Dan Rayburn, who was a streaming media guy. Made a very compelling argument why this is just business as usual. You pay for peering that's asymmetric.
It was peering.
Yeah,
I talked to the CEO of Roku, who I chat with occasionally, and he says this was in the works for a year.
He worked at Roku was originally a Netflix.
Yeah, product. And he says this is a bullcrap story. He says this was not about net neutrality. It was about peering.
Right.
Yeah.
It was coming on the heels of the Time Warner thing and kind of targets on Comcast. I think it's the kind of tempest in a teapot.
Speaking of bogus stories, I have to apologize because we talked last week.
Write about something.
Huh?
You have to write about something.
You got
to
write about something. And Greg Kaiser apparently likes to write about Apple for Computer World. And I trusted him because it's Computer World, right? That's trustworthy.
You trusted.
I trusted. I don't trust him anymore. He wrote an article in which he asserted that Apple was as bad as Microsoft because they weren't going to support Snow Leopard anymore. It's wrong. It's just wrong. Apple did not retire Snow Leopard from support. His article, which we talked about last week, said Apple retires Snow Leopard from support, leaves 1 in 5 Macs vulnerable to attacks. His evidence was that Apple didn't update Snow Leopard for the go-to-fail bug. That's because it wasn't in Snow Leopard. Apple says, no, what are you talking about?
It's a scandal.
It's a scandal. What are you talking about, Willis? So I'm sure Greg will have something to say about it. But according to Renee Ritchie at iMore, get him on the show. Greg, if you want to defend yourself, come on the show. But according to Renee Ritchie at iMore, that's bogus. Apple's continuing to support Snow Leopard. So fear not. On the other hand, April 8th, it's the end of XP. And Steve Gibson, shockingly, on Security Now on Tuesday, said, well, that's not a big deal. What? You're the security guy. No, I'm going to continue to run XP. In fact, Steve said, I never was able to get that Service Pack 3 working, so I'm running XP Service Pack 2, and I'm safe. He says it's overblown. He says the key is to not run as an administrator. Run as a limited user. XP is as safe as anything else. Don't worry about those patches from Microsoft. I think we'll find out April 9th.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I don't know. Gibson's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good. He's the best.
Yeah. That's surprising.
On the other hand, he knows what not to do, and users maybe don't.
Hmm.
So we will talk about
somebody in the chat room says, Steve is so cheap.
Basically, he doesn't want. No, you know what it is? He likes old stuff because he knows it's kind of tried and true and been banged on. And he feels like he's more likely to be safe with an operating system that's been around for 13 years than with a brand new one.
Because really, who's building exploits for XP?
Everybody.
Well,
are you kidding?
I know. They are.
Do you know how many XP machines? Take a guess. How many XP machines do you think there are in the world?
Well, millions. I mean,
millions?
Yeah, I would say millions.
I'd say it's more than that.
How about half a billion?
Yeah.
Jeez. Sounds good.
Well, 30% of all people running Windows are running XP.
Yeah. Right.
Almost 500 million computers running XP today. That's a lot of computers. If you're a bad guy,
and the vulnerabilities,
the target, yeah.
The vulnerabilities are well documented too. That's the thing, right?
And they're going to be even better documented when Microsoft stops patching.
Right, right.
Because then Microsoft will release patches for the other versions of the operating system, and that's an alert. Hey, by the way, you know, there's a problem with that DLL. You might want to look at it.
And Steve's not out there clicking on everything he gets through email.
No, he knows what not to do.
He knows what not to do. But all these other average users, you know, that just are still running XP because that's what they've got, they're going to be clicking all day long on things.
I have a
maniac.
Install all kinds of stuff.
Today on the radio show, a guy named Thomas called. He said, my mom is running XP. It takes her 3 minutes to load a web page. She's running IE6. The latest version on XP is IE8, which is just as bad practically.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Please help me get her to Windows 8. I like Windows 8. How do I get her to move?
Just upgrade her.
I said, yeah, just do it. And then she's going to say, I gave you birth 32 years ago, and you do this to me. What is with the charms? What is the how do I turn this thing off?
She might not even notice.
She'll notice.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding?
I got called in to help an older lady a couple weeks ago because she had Windows 8 and she had Windows 7 before. She's totally lost.
Can't
I was like, you know what? Just take it back to the store. Tell them to put Windows 7 on.
I want Windows 7. Tell her to get an iPad or a Chromebook.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
That's what you really
My like. Wife, who grouses about everything, every upgrade known to man, complains bitterly, loves Windows 8.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, and she says it has.
What does she like about
it? She has a theory that I think is fascinating. Windows 8 is largely done by that new woman that moved up.
Julie Larson Green.
Is that who it is? Yeah,
it was Sinofsky. Steven Sinofsky.
Well, and there's also the ribbon.
Larson Green.
But there's
did the
a
ribbon.
Lot. Of, she has a lot of influence.
Yeah.
She says it's the woman's influence that makes it. She says
it's a womanly operating.
She says
system.
She wow. says it was a woman's influence. She says she can sense it, and she says it's wacky. It makes no sense, but it's. Feels right.
Feels feminine.
Mm.
Tell Steven Sinofsky that. I don't really agree with you.
Maybe that's why I can't figure it out. I can't figure women out either.
That's the problem.
It says it's going to do one thing. It does the opposite.
I'm telling you. This is the theory. I was the same. Felt the same way about it.
I'm always looking for the start button. Where's the start
Everything
button?
Everything I click is wrong.
It.
I don't know.
Windows 7, it was simple. You started it up. It went. Now, where is it? Wow.
Anyway, it's a theory.
Wow.
It's a pretty good
Windows
theory, 8. Actually.
The feminine side.
Yeah. And she likes
What about iOS 7? Does she like that? That's very girly, too.
She doesn't use it. Probably would.
Yeah. Wow.
I know she doesn't like the Android. So.
Oh. That's very male.
That's very manly. Yeah,
it's manly.
Yeah. Manly's no good.
No. It's wacky, but it feels right. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. You know, it doesn't feel right going to the post office. It's such a pain in the behind. You got to find parking. There's all the people in there buying the new stamps, the new postage, right? Why do that when you can print stamps? You can print stamps right now at Stamps.com. All you have to do is go to stamps.com right now. We're going to give you a no-risk trial in a second. Now your computer, your printer, no special ink, no postage meter necessary, can print all the postage you need on demand when you need it, 24/7. Never go to the post office again. You can print right on the envelope. So if your business does invoices or mailers or whatever, it goes right on there with the return address, the logo, and it actually even gets the addresses you're sending it to from your QuickBooks. If you sell on Etsy or eBay, Amazon, PayPal, whatever site you use, it'll pull the address from there. If it's an overseas address, it'll fill out the international forms. This is the easiest way to become a professional fulfillment house. That's why the pros use Stamps.com. That's why we use Stamps.com. It's more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. In fact, as much as 80% less than a postage meter. And you don't have to go to the post office. There's even a button on Stamps.com. You press the button in the post office, says, quick, send a mail carrier to Leo's place. They've got mail. Stamps.com. I love it so much that I want you to try it. There are discounts on Stamps.com. They'll save you money. Discounts you can't even get at the post office. Certified mail, return receipt, international customs forms, all filled out automatically. It'll send, if you're doing a Priority or Priority Express, it will send an email to your recipient with the tracking number. I mean, really, it looks pro. It is pro. Here's your no-risk trial offer. Visit Stamps.com. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner there. Make sure you do this because I'm going to give you a better deal than that one you see on the front page there. Enter TWIT, T-W-I-T is the offer code. You'll get the digital scale for free. You'll get the $55 in free postage. You'll get the supply kit and a four-week trial at Stamps.com. So make sure you go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TWIT. We use it. You could, too. Stamps.com. You'd be using it right now. If you're about to go out to the post office, before you could get to the post office, you could be using Stamps.com. Nikos Mavroginopoulos. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I practiced that all night last night. I was really mad that we set the clocks ahead because I lost an hour of practicing. Nikos Mavroginopoulos.
Ah, yes.
He is a Red Hat guy. Discovered... Remember the go to fail bug? We thought, oh, this could, you know, this is crazy. Although Bruce Schneier is of the opinion that it might have been a hack.
Really?
Yeah. This is the bug where a single line go to fail was duplicated in open source code on the Macintosh that completely bypassed the SSL security certificate check and just meant that any certificate would be okay. Meaning a man in the middle attack would be trivial on iOS and on the Macintosh. Apple has fixed it. But Nikos, who works for Red Hat, says a bug in Linux could allow a hacker to create a certificate that would bypass normal authentication checks. Red Hat has set out an immediate alert, suggests that all those who use Red Hat update. It's very similar to the go to fail problem. Now, Schneier said, if I wanted to create a security flaw in an operating system that would allow me, let's say I'm a federal agency that's interested in what people are up to bypass that and do that, I would do it in a couple of ways. One that preserved deniability, looked like it could be a typo. Mm-hmm. One that would be trivial to create. You don't have to spend an hour at the computer keyboard. Just go in there, type, go to fail. And so Schneier says, this looks, you know, I'm not saying there's no smoking gun and there's no way to prove it ever who did it or why. Although he did point out Apple, if they have any normal, you guys are programmers, if they had any normal auditing procedures, that are the kind of procedures that any company has, should know exactly who committed that code.
Logging and version control.
Should know exactly who wrote that.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we heard from Apple? No. Not a word. Not that that's unusual for Apple. Bruce raises a point. I think he's right. Apple, who did that and why? Prove to us it was just an error, not some sort of malicious attempt to add, to reduce the security of OS X. In this case, very similar. Another go-to.
And wouldn't Linux have that same kind of version control? I mean, I know it's kind of out there and open source, but isn't it like all those guys?
Has even more eyes.
Yeah,
on,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's out there in a repository, in a Git repository somewhere, and people are actually testing it out again and again and again. They usually find it. Now, sometimes these things can be put into code as a way to test certain things out. So you put this in deliberately in the beginning because, oh, I want to see if this works, but I don't really want to have to go through the authorization part, right? So we'll just skip that with this little thing, and then you forget
about issue.
It. But
this
I don't think so.
This is a library, GNU TLS, that is used not only by Red Hat, by everybody.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, yeah, you could see who committed in the, on the GNU project to do this, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's especially with GNU, right? I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, the, right. the ultimate open source, you know, open for everybody type of utilities. And the fact that that did not get tested,
it's
I mean, that's really crazy.
How doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
Strange.
Where's Stallman? Get him on the show.
So it's not just Red Hat, but this really is probably more widespread than the go to fail bug. With the same, by the way, ultimate upshot, which is that you can't trust SSL certificates or that they're all trusted. And it's used by a lot of apps.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean,
it's used all over. This library is everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, a Macintosh kind of exposure like that is bad, but a Linux one, I think, is. I mean, how universally used is Linux on various applications and servers and all that sort of stuff?
This GNU library is used. Probably most people implementing TLS would probably just say, well, I'm going to use the library. It's all there.
That's why it's there. Yeah. It's the purpose.
Yeah.
So go update your systems, people.
Yes.
Wow.
It's been identified. Fixes are out.
Usually
there,
it's easy to fix this kind of stuff.
That's why you do regular patches. For security. You do regular updates for security patches, for sure.
Speaking of security, I love this story. The U.S. government is really mad at Sprint because they've been overcharging for wiretaps. That's just not right. They inflated charges by 58%. That's more than $21 million in overpayment. You know, Sprint... So, I guess it's reasonable if you're Sprint or any telco to charge for wiretaps, right? We've got to get a guy in there with his little clippers, and it's not cheap.
Who's to say what's overcharge? that's what they pay. I say, you ask me to do something, I say, here's what's going to cost.
The government complains.
Is there a wiretap rate scale?
If you want this information, obviously, that's
an extra charge.
There is. Yeah. It's not the question that they overcharge. It's that they faked... False claims for reimbursement.
That's different.
They charged under the law, the government's required to reimburse Sprint for reasonable costs, but the invoices Sprint said have fully complied with the law, but the government is asking for triple damages and civil fines.
Jeez.
Admitting basically, yeah, we wiretap a lot, and boy, we have overpaid. We have really, really overpaid.
Tax dollars at work right there.
holy cow.
Be against the law to wiretap.
And good news, the secret court, I just like saying that, the secret court has rejected the government's request for longer metadata retention. At least the secret court is giving us a little oversight here. The U.S. wanted to keep data beyond 5 years. The secret judge at the secret court said no. Actually, he's not secret.
How can it be secret?
His name is Reggie.
No. Reggie.
Reggie. Reggie says no. Okay. Thanks, Reggie.
If you're a Fisk judge, I would think you would keep that secret. Sure. Like you'd wear a hood or something.
Or go by Satoshi.
Call yourself Satoshi. No, it's Judge Reggie.
Reggie.
Reggie Walton. Thank you, Reggie. I guess this is one case where you'd want the judge to be public. I just love those stories. And by the way, more detail on the balloons versus the drones.
The battle of the skies.
The battle of the skies.
Yeah.
To provide free internet access.
Yeah. So Google Loon, remember that? They launched those balloons in New Zealand. Trey got some great pictures. Trey Ratcliffe got some great pictures. The idea was provide internet access with balloons in the stratosphere. That just float there and then they
beam down.
It's like reflect internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
This not intended for here, but areas where they can't get
Africa.
Wired.
Developing nations.
And in case maybe just carry a couple of missiles on them just in case.
You never know. They might want to because Facebook now is going to buy a company, Titan Aerospace, that produces solar-powered drones.
So they just go up there and fly around in a circle.
And never come down. Huh? Yep.
Exactly. Facebook wants to bring internet access to parts of the developing world that haven't built out the infrastructure for ground-based web access. And this is part of the internet.org thing that Mark Zuckerberg's been contributing to.
Now, if you look at the comparison of the Google Loon project versus what Titan's done, I mean, it seems like Titan is the better bet. Because,
yeah.
It, I mean, it stays up in the air forever.
Right.
Right?
It's, fixed wings are more reliable.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A balloon. It's about the same altitude, but the data speeds are way more superior than what the balloons are. Yeah, the balloons are given 3G, but this Titan stuff is given one gigabit per second data speed. So,
yeah, but this is so far away, it's not going to really come down.
It covers 1,000 square miles.
That's the radius of the coverage, but it's not the speed deteriorates over
it's a gigabit, but if like a lot of people are using it, that could be a lot less.
The whole thing's a scam.
It's experiment.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, scam experiment.
There's something else going on. Yeah. It's like that. What's his name? Remember that guy goes up looking. What's his? He's looking for the Titanic, but he's actually looking for a Russian sub.
James Cameron.
Yeah, remember this thing? And there was like he was working for the government. You ever do the follow up on that?
No.
Oh, look it up.
Really?
Yeah, Cameron was working for the government, and the Titanic thing was just the cover.
So all those specials that they put on
all
those TV shows.
I'll send you some links. Yeah, he made some money on the deal. It's not that he didn't do anything.
What was he doing for the government?
There was something to do with some.
While you're down there, would you break one of the cables?
Essentially.
Just cut one of the transatlantic.
No, it wasn't that. He wasn't there as a
joke.
He wasn't there to
what
do
the people
espionage.
In Nova Scotia up to no good and he had to check it out?
Yeah, well, whatever. Do you have a Fuji XM1?
I don't, but I hear very good things about it. Do you want to try it out? Is that why you're asking? If I get you one, would you review it for before you buy?
Yeah, yeah.
I had the Fuji X100, which is this kind of
that's what
diva
I was thinking.
Camera.
Right.
Yeah.
No, the XM1's supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an APS-C
right.
Is the XM says mirrorless?
16 megapixels.
Is that right?
I believe it is.
That's what the M stands for, mirrorless.
But it's not Micro Four Thirds because it's...
No, Micro Four Thirds is at the end of its life.
Don't tell Lisa that. I just gave her.
Well, that's fine, but it's at the end of its life. And 5 years.
What do you mean
years?
The end of its life? It's just begun. We've
just
only
begun?
Just begun. End of its
what
life.
What world are you living in?
What is it? It's like 3 years old.
You know,
MFT?
No, but the four-thirds sensor.
Four-thirds is ancient, but micro four-thirds is new.
Right. Yeah, but it's still the four-thirds thing. You know the size that... You remember those cameras that were these dinky little plastic cameras that shot one... It was like... What was 120 or some little film?
Yeah, that weird wide angle thing. Yeah, it's the same size as that?
Yeah, it's the exact same size. It's too small.
Can we make a note that we should get John this Fuji XM1, but you have to do a review for us on Before You Buy.
Yeah, sure.
I want a cranky review. You could do it with the guy with the beard and the plaid.
People keep thinking I'm the tech grouch.
You are.
Oh, you're not?
It was a real guy.
Okay. So can you get us the tech grouch so he can review the Fuji film?
If I can find
his
costume.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's in a bag somewhere. I can do that. I think the tech grouch needs to be revived.
Mm-hmm.
Ken from Chicago made a good point on these drones. Tell these other countries that, the internet we're going to give you, that comes from the U.S. You don't mind, do you? That might not be very welcome either. Daylight savings time. There's a bug in iOS 7. Can Apple not figure this out? According to a Cult of Mac, John Brownlee, if you open your calendar on your iOS, you got iOS 7 there? On your iOS 7 device, the time of your operating system is correct, but the line marking the time in calendar is an hour behind.
Oh, no.
I was just verifying everything was working correctly on my Android phone.
It's not 120.
Can we
something
just
else.
Stop doing the time change?
I gotta get. I'm gonna have to look up now because 120 is not the reason.
You remember Ben Franklin? What was wrong with him? Why did he propose this?
He was drunk all the time.
He was.
Like, if I got you some little Ben Franklin
actually,
glasses,
that's true. Because I met there's a guy Nick DeWolf who's now deceased, but he was the great great grandson of Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
And I met this guy, and you swear you were actually talking to Ben Franklin. He looked like him. He had the same bald head, same hair, and he was an inventor.
If we could get some
he's a great, great guy. Get a little. It's not 120. Anyways, that little format. Chat room, give me the number on the. Of the
and while you're at chat room, would you Photoshop John C. Dvorak's face onto an image of Ben Franklin? And we could just, because I think this guy. let me see here. This to me.
110.
I think.
Yeah, it looks just like me.
Just it's the same person.
Yeah, it's 110. You're right.
110 cartridge.
Okay. Yeah, 110. That little bitty one.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, okay.
I used to have that.
So I propose, and I think we should ratify this right here. We've got a bunch of Scots people, so they count.
We got an international
audience, right?
As long as they don't.
You guys
pay...
do you guys do the time change daylight? Like, yeah, you do.
But not
summertime.
For like another 2 weeks, right? Or yeah, you, yeah, yeah.
In the meantime,
can we just abolish this and just yes, right?
This has been argued forever.
The Ouija
forever.
Say yes.
No.
Never
going
to happen.
Daylight saving.
Should we or
time.
Can we? Those two different questions. Should we? Yes.
We can know we can.
You can't.
What?
There was.
I'm not saying eliminate time zones. I'm just saying one time zone.
Rule let's just have one time zone. Period. Why do we have all these different?
Well,
times
sure. On New Year's Eve, I was
it
wondering
be East
that.
Coast. It should be New York.
Or yeah.
Or GMT.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
GMT.
So everyone runs off
everybody,
GMT.
Did you check and see if your calendar is screwed up?
No. Well, mine, I'm on
a
Android.
A lot of people say, oh, you're on Android.
Yeah, yeah,
of course you are. Why would he be on iPhone? Yeah.
Everything worked
Android.
As it's supposed to.
I got Android. No problem.
Some people in the chat room say they're not having.
This morning. I don't know.
They're not having trouble. And Pizza Box, let's get rid of seasons too, he says. Exactly. One season. All year long. Summer all year long. And no, we can't fix that. But we can stop this,
talking about
the
season?
Madness. We can stop the madness of turning the clock.
One Absolutely. Time zone.
No.
I'm with John on one time zone. I'm very pro one time
what
zone.
What difference
really?
Does it make?
Yeah,
oh, would you say, yeah I got up early. I got up at 2 in the morning this morning, you know, when it's in the afternoon. Yeah. Well, what difference does it make? It's arbitrary.
It's made up, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
It's arbitrary.
Time zones were created for when the trains.
If we all ran on GMT.
When trains would arrive.
Yeah, exactly.
I looked this up. Yeah,
exactly.
It was
that's
in
exactly
1800s.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we all ran on one time
zone, does
that
zone, make it harder to figure out when trains are going to
Everybody
arrive?
Knows what time you got up.
Because the idea was that the trains are traveling across the country and the
station houses that were all across the country couldn't figure out the different times and
the train time.
So
the train time.
If we were on UTC, it'd be 7 minutes past midnight right now.
Fine.
I got to go to bed.
No.
No.
You go to bed at 4 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the big deal? They think people can't figure this out?
Yeah, there'd be
I'll give you a call at 9.
You know, remember the last time when they changed from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar?
I remember that. Yeah.
People thought they'd lost days of their lives.
No, they lost a week.
They rebelled. They said, yeah, we're going to die a week sooner?
They literally lost a week. They went from like March 7th to March 20th.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So now imagine we got rid of time zones. People go crazy.
The public isn't that stupid.
And another thing, why are we not on the metric system?
Well, because it sucks.
Okay. John, you're not consistent at all.
I'm very consistent.
You are inconsistent. We're going to take a break. We're going to find out why the secret behind Apple. We'll find out what the secret is behind Apple's success in their stores. It's not what you think it is.
Huh. I wonder what it is. I'm going to stay tuned.
Well, please stay tuned. And then Kit Khloe Kardashian topless a little later on.
Mm.
No, we did
again?
That.
Again?
We did that.
Again.
We can do it again.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I tell you. Hey, you know, we had a good week this week on Twitter. Would you like a house ad, John?
I love house ads.
Let's take a look. What happened this week on Twit?
Previously on Twit, Tech News Today.
Bitcoin founder found?
It would be an interesting read, though, to hear the real motivations behind creating Bitcoin.
The motivation given in this, he just got bored with playing with his trains.
This week in law.
Now more than 800 Flappy Bird clones still out there.
Flappy Bird has a couple attributes to it that really make it a highly addictive game.
Weekly. Glad this week in law delved into the Flappy Bird controversy.
This song has words, and those words are, screw you, Paul.
Know-how.
Now, Brian, how about some dancing LED lights?
There's a fire.
Ah!
Twit, making the world safe for technology.
Money well spent.
Money well spent. Mike Elgin's here. Mike, what's coming up in the week ahead?
South by Southwest, which began Friday, continues through Tuesday in Austin, Texas. And the ginormous tech show CeBIT Global Conferences runs Monday through Friday next week in Hanover, Germany. Back to you, Leah.
Why aren't we in Hanover? Isn't CBIT like the...
He said ginormous. Did you should dock his pay.
Should not be allowed?
No.
Ben Franklin would never have allowed it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Hey, send me a copy of that.
A new world record in Photoshop editing.
That was very fast.
Yeah, send me a copy.
You know why? Because he looks exactly...
No, they just put my head on his body.
But that is like even down to the side, the shading and everything. That is very well done.
I never noticed that. I've worked with you for years. I never noticed that.
I am Ben Franklin.
You are Ben Franklin.
Send me a copy of that, please. Yes. I can use it.
We will. It is your new. It's your new Facebook avatar.
I don't use Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we had this conversation. I wish I could not use Facebook.
Well, you can. Just stop using it. You guys use Facebook,
Ron? If I use it, I'm on it, but I don't I don't go into it.
You have it.
Right. Yeah. I have an account, but I don't.
Yeah. I go on there once in a while.
I auto-post to it. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, my Twitter posts to
nobody
Facebook.
Nobody goes on
Facebook. Some people like Facebook. Some people do.
Like mom.
Oh, ladies.
Yeah.
Like my mom. Yeah, that's true.
Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Everybody loves audiobooks from Audible.com. If you miss Triangulation, where we had Daniel Suarez on talking about his book Influx. He's the guy who wrote Demon and Freedom TM. And then Jeff Gerner, his reader, the guy who reads all his books on Audible, joined him, and the performance was amazing. We're talking to Jeff, and he goes into the book, and it's like it comes alive. It really was amazing. Remember Carmine Gallo, John?
You're saying the word amazing too many
times.
It's
amazeballs. Should I say
anything's
no. No.
Astonishing, fantastic. There's a lot of words you could use.
No. Do they say that in Scotland?
Yes.
Amazeballs?
Carmine.
Huh?
Girls do.
Well, I'm a girly operator.
That's what she said.
Carmine Gallo.
Who on one show I called him Carmen.
Carmine's a color. Carmen's a girl.
Yeah.
He has been writing lots of books. His newest book, Talk Like Ted. Remember him from Money Machine on the Tech TV, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds. Hmm. You can get that. We're going to have Michio Kaku, the great physicist, the string theory fella, on Triangulation in a couple of weeks. His new book is out, The Future of Mind, The Scientific Quest to Understand, Enhance, and Empower the Mind. Ooh, that sounds good. I'm intrigued by the mind. Jeff Hawkins wrote a great book that I listened to on audible.com. He is the founder of Palm. You may remember him, but he was, before he founded Palm, a neuroscientist, and his book on intelligence, which came out a couple of years ago, is about how the brain works. He's actually started a new company called Numenta that's attempting to create chips that work massively parallel fashion as the brain does. This was a great book. I can highly recommend it. The problem is picking two. You're going to get two books at audible.com when you visit audible.com/twit. Two, you'll be choosing from 150,000 wonderful books, brand new suspense, thriller, murder mysteries, lots of science fiction, but also classics. There's The Silence of the Lambs. Clive Cussler is on there. These are new books from Randy Wayne, Clive Cussler, Sean McGuire, Benjamin Black. Classics, history. I read a lot of nonfiction. This is interesting. The Rise of Superman, Decoding the Science of Ultimate Human Performance. The Man Without a Face, timely stuff. The Unlikely Rise of Vladimir Putin by Masha Gessen. So pick a couple because you're going to get them for free. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month. This is really good. I just listened to this. Ender's Game Alive. It's a dramatized audio play. Arsen Scott Card did the adaptation of his classic novel, and it really comes alive. Mm. I watched it right before I watched the movie or listened to it. I often say watch because I feel like these audiobooks just come alive in my head. I feel like I'm watching them as they happen. Go to audible.com/twit2. You'll be able to pick two books because your first month's free. Your first two books are free. You cancel in the first 30 days, you'll pay nothing, but those books are yours forever. You also get the daily edition of the New York Times, the audio edition of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal as part of your deal. It's always the challenge, though, is to limit it. Let me just look at the latest books. I'm listening right now to a classic sci-fi by Peter F. Hamilton.
Mm.
Do you like him?
Oh,
I love him. And
I'm
had never
to Great North Road right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little long and didn't really go anywhere, I think. But he before he was really super famous, he wrote a series, a trilogy, I think, of books, the Greg Mandel
novels. I listened to those, too. Those were really good.
Yeah, and I had never listened to those. So I went back to the first Mind Star Rising. It's great.
Yeah, really good. Yep.
It's about a guy who was in the government, because he was in the military, installed a gland in his head that gives him ESP. And he can make it pump when he needs to. It's right, wild. Right.
Yeah.
Love this stuff. So that's a good choice, too. There's so many great North Road. Pandora's Star.
Pandora's Star was great. That's where I started with
that. Might be my Peter favorite. 37 Hours. You get that as one of your two books. Yeah.
It's really good. Also, the James S.A. Corey. I know that's a pseudo. It's a.
I don't know his stuff.
James S.A. Corey.
Corey.
Start with Leviathan Wakes. That was the first one. It's a
sci-fi.
It's sci-fi, and it's a team of authors. They team up, and I think they write one chapter each. They go back and forth, and I don't know how they tie the story together so well. I mean, they must script it all out ahead of time, but it is really, really good.
Do you see the difference in style as you go through it? I mean, does it change?
You kind of do, but what they do is each chapter is from a different character's perspective.
Oh, so it's okay.
So it works. Yeah. Yeah, it works for them. And if you haven't read this, the James S.A. Corey, I forget what the actual author's names are, but...
Adding it to my cart.
Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, I would highly... They got three of these now, all in the series, and it follows this guy who's kind of like the hero.
Audible has a wish list, which is really nice, because you can add stuff. In fact, I recommend you do that, add stuff to your wish list. So that you can see mine is rather long, so that when you get a credit, you can try it out. I keep waiting. Salem's Lot comes and goes. I think there's a deal with the publisher. So right now it's not available, but every once in a while it is. Mm. That's the classic about the witches by Stephen King. Anyway, I highly recommend audible.com. You try it today. Two books free. audible.com/twit2. And choose a couple of books from there. 150,000 in there, absolutely free. Yeah.
That's how I got started.
Did you do the deal?
I used the Twit code.
Yeah,
got
thank
two free
you.
Books. Yeah.
And now you're hooked, right?
I am absolutely hooked. Yep, it's the only way I read or listen.
People get mad at me. I say read, but it is reading. You get in all the words. I asked Daniel Suarez, "Can I say read?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine."
I call
you're reading my books.
Yep.
Android accounted for 97%. Of mobile malware in 2013. This is F-Secure. But only 1.1% of those were actually in the Google Play stores. Lesson, only download stuff from the Google Play store, right?
Verified sources.
Yeah, verified sources.
You can uncheck that box.
Can?
But, or I guess you check that box, but don't. Or if you do, just don't download. You know, it's dumb to download, like, random wallpaper apps from Russia.
Right.
Okay. That would
just
be a bad idea.
Just because you can get an APK doesn't mean you should install it.
Yeah. Yep. if it's from Scotland, that's okay. Right. There are no bad guys or hackers of any kind in Scotland, right? No, it's completely safe.
Is there a bagpipes app?
Oh, I bet there is.
I'm sure there is.
enthusiastic nodding from the audience. Just,
do any of you play the bagpipes?
No, it's not the stereotype.
But you haven't. He's got a recording with him. You never know.
I think it's some law.
They're all carrying cassettes.
They have to be bagpipe.
So, but approved. Stay away from the haggis wallpaper, because that's disgusting.
Just a list of stereotypes we got.
Yeah, let's go. Bagpipes, more stereotypes.
Haggis, what else we got?
Check that one off.
I got a train spot joke.
How many of you have? How many of you have ever eaten haggis? All of them. See, it's not a stereotype. It's real. Have you ever had ketchup flavored potato chips? Those guys in the back, you're from Canada, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can see, you can identify people right away by what flavor of potato chips.
I'm telling you, stereotypes work.
That's why there's stereotypes.
It makes things easier.
Life is easier with a stereotype. So should we worry, you guys, should we worry if we use iPhone, by the way, BlackBerry, Palm, and Windows Phone, all fewer than 1% of the malware infections, 97% of mobile malware on Android?
Because you can't sideload on those platforms, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's harder to sideload.
I think these numbers are a little deceiving because, number one, you can't sideload on those platforms, so they're completely closed. Secondly, you know, the second largest group here is Symbian. And if you look at the growth of Android versus the growth of Symbian, Android is booming while Symbian is dying.
Right.
And so, of course, you're going to see more malware on a growing platform.
The real issue is AOSP stuff, right? Because they don't have the Play Store. So if you – and that would explain why – 42% of the infections are in Saudi Arabia, 33% in India, only 5% in the U.S. It's in areas where you're getting the cheaper AOSP Android only, not Google services handsets.
Correct. Right. You're getting an Android device that is running the AOSP stuff that's open that you and you're there are these third party kind of app stores where people are downloading things willy nilly and right. they're you know and especially internationally. How many of them are jam-packed with malware? Because those protections that Google or that Amazon...
So what is this malware doing?
That's a good question.
Well, there's a lot of things it could do. The most recent like Android malware...
Do, but what does it do?
Well, the most recent Android malware would sign you up for paid SMS accounts. So these were on the Play Store. Google killed them immediately. But if you downloaded it, one of them was a belly fat, secrets of how to lose belly fat. I downloaded it. That's why I know. And it would sign you up kind of surreptitiously for a paid SMS service, then send you a bunch of tips via text message. And $50 later, you've been screwed. The funny thing is these programs used WhatsApp.
Who's billing you for the $50?
A Trinidadian telco.
And the Trinidadian telco is getting their money by sending you a bill in the mail?
No. Your phone company ends
the,
up.
The phone... Well, hold on a second.
Sprint.
You're telling me the phone company is in cahoots with a specific criminal activity.
Well...
The phone company and the criminal are working together.
Because there are legitimate paid SMS services.
This doesn't sound like it's legitimate if they tricked you. Why doesn't the phone company back?
Why do I feel like a phone company executive testifying, Your Honor?
But that's not the only one. I mean, there are other malware ones that hijack your number and send SMSs if they're from you through a CNC server. Right. There are,
And how do you get billed for this? How do you get billed for this?
Yeah, that's the question.
Your phone company.
Yeah.
The phone company thus is in cahoots with what's essentially a criminal.
Well, cahoots is a generous term.
They're the collector.
True, but
they're the collectors. Like the guy, hey. You're not going to have phone service anymore if you don't pay this bill.
Maybe they should not. Well, I bet you could call AT&T and say, hey, are you in cahoots? Because give me my money back. And then AT&T would say, well, yeah, you're right. That was malware.
No, that's not what happens, though.
Oh, I bet it does.
That most of the time they say, well, we can't do anything about it. International contracts. This is a treaty issue. There's nothing we can do. We can't stop this.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Complete and total scam, and the phone companies are in on this, and it's a shame.
Damn it.
I'm just saying. It's you can make fun of me, and this is Dvorak, but this is a complete ripoff, and the phone companies are behind it.
I agree.
Well, it should work the way it works on your Visa card, right? I mean, if you get scammed, you can call them and say,
That's an interesting point. Cell phone billing doesn't work the same way.
Right.
Does
it doesn't go through a Visa or a standardized kind of thing.
No, you got a point, John. I had never really thought about that.
I've bitched about this for years.
Yeah.
This started with the modems back in the day when they used this great code that when you had a modem. You're probably too young to remember.
So you have this modem.
it's making all this racket. And then the code was it turned off the sound of the modem, hung up, and then redialed some chat line
in Romania.
Was $100 a minute, and you got these $1,000 bills, and the phone company, we're sorry, but it's a treaty obligation. You have to pay.
Wow.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't disagree with you, actually, on this one. Mark Penn, you may remember that name. He was a pollster for Hillary Clinton during her failed primary bid in 2008, fired, in fact, halfway through the primary campaign because of her poor showing. He then got a job doing ads for Microsoft. The Scroogled ads are Mark Penn's.
Mark Penn name rings a bell.
Yeah, so are the Honestly ads, which you might have seen more recently, where
I just saw one.
Windows isn't so bad, honestly. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a horrible campaign.
That's such a bad approach to take it. No,
that
really, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Honestly, I just saw one
of those on a bus in San Francisco, on the way.
They're spending millions. You'll see them everywhere. If you go to Microsoft.com/Windows/honestly, you can see all of them.
Now, here's a problem I have at Microsoft, and I haven't had a platform to complain about this, so I'm going to use this if you allow me.
Go right ahead, my friend.
Every day I walk through the Muni stations in San Francisco, and for months they were covered in Surface ads, and now I'm sure we're going to see these Honestly ads coming up, and I can't imagine the cost to wrap the subway cars and all that sort of stuff that they're doing. If Microsoft really wanted to get their products in the hands of people, why wouldn't they take that advertising dollars and either apply it to the cost of the Surface device and make it cheaper, or give it to schools for free and don't do any advertising. Like, why do they need to do these awareness ad campaigns that cost millions of dollars?
On the other hand, if Microsoft would like to spend millions of dollars advertising on the Twit network, I would be glad to start saying nice things about these crap ads.
Well, no, but I'm serious. Like, why, if they really want to penetrate in the markets that they want to, why don't they apply the money they're putting into these advertising and
advertising
make the device...
works, my friend.
Because nobody would know it. Only a few people would know about
right.
the fact that
so here's some of the
it's marketing.
You're going to tell me if they made the Surface a $49 device...
Oh, yeah,
that
I'd buy one.
That wouldn't get
they
covered.
They need to make money. They're in business. Right.
But how much are they spending on it?
No, that's nothing.
They're losing market share.
Okay, here's some of the honestly memes. Honestly, I don't love change. Honestly, I couldn't find a reason not to buy
it. Isn't that a great ad for
honestly,
a Windows
I needed
computer.
A laptop and a tablet. Honestly, I want a phone that shoots epic video. Yeah, right.
I like my honestly, I'm afraid of change. That's the best one. Yeah.
I don't love change.
I don't love change.
Yeah.
I really do like, honestly, I couldn't find a reason not to buy it. I don't know. Is that a triple negative? I couldn't find a reason.
Not to confuse you. I couldn't find a reason not
all right,
to buy
so
it.
So the guy behind these and Scroogled ads is now a chief strategy officer at Microsoft. He's been promoted to the executive suite. He's going to do data-driven strategy for the future of Microsoft. Mark Penn, congratulations. Honestly.
Did you see the picture honestly. In the picture in the New York Times article too? It's not his best side.
Let's see, Mark.
Honestly, it's not your best side. Mark Penn.
Wow, that is not.
Ex-Clinton aide named Microsoft chief strategy officer.
There it is.
He's angry about something. This is when he was working for HRC. I'm honestly very perturbed.
Honestly.
It looks like the guy that came up with Scroogle.
I'm the new chief strategy officer. Honestly.
So it's an interesting choice because he's a pollster by training, right? He's a data guy. He's a research guy by training.
Those guys.
And apparently...
They know how to... They're actually, by trade, salesmen.
Really? Because they're basically selling crazy stuff.
Yes.
He's going to take over... as the company's chief strategy officer, which I think is kind of intriguing, but I'm told, Mary Jo Foley and Paul Thurrott at Windows Weekly told me that really it's about data. So they're going to do a lot more measurement of people
big
like
data.
Ron and say, well, you know, Ron, what do you think? Honestly, what do you think of Surface? Stuff like that. And then I don't, is this the right way to determine what your product should be by focus group?
No, never.
It doesn't seem to work.
In fact, there's a Harvard Business Study that said this is bull crap.
Yeah.
You got to study people, but you don't focus group them because they lie. The public is terrible at it. If you want to get marketing data, you don't ask anybody anything. You just kind of follow them around and spy on them.
So the budget, the big advertising budget now is out of his hands. Chris Capicella has that. He's a longtime Microsoft executive, the guy who managed OEMs and retailers and so forth. So I don't know if Scroogled will continue.
Let's hope not.
I think it was terrible.
What was the alternative? You've been bingled or something?
Would you rather be bingled or Scroogled?
Sounds like bingled's more exciting.
Penn did do a very good ad campaign, the Super Bowl ad campaign. Remember where the guy who was disabled was using a Surface, and it showed how all the different ways people were using Surface. And it was somewhat inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very soft
That was like
campaign.
That was like last year, wasn't it?
No, it was this year on the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Unfortunately, I just looked up bingled in the Urban Dictionary. It's to be caught naked by surprise.
Woo! Khloe Kardashian, you've just been bingled. That's a good word. I'm going to remember that. I've been bingled several times.
Yes, we know.
You've been bingled. Yeah, but Jeff Jarvis used this in one of his posts the other day. That's where I saw it.
I've been bingled.
Jeff is wishing for the best.
But I'm surprised he didn't look that one up first before he put it in his
The
post.
Urban Dictionary is not the only arbiter.
That's right.
We're going to take a break, come back with more, some exciting news about Keurig, the coffee maker. They're going to do the same thing that Canon does with its inkjet cartridges. They're going to do with their coffee cartridges. Can you guess what that is? Stand by.
Use them for printing?
No. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. If you're gonna have data on your computer that you want to save, and as we get close to tax time, I know there's some financial records you want to save. Maybe pictures of the kids or your wedding. There's stuff you don't want to lose. You better have a good backup strategy. And I'm not talking about sticking a thumb drive in every few weeks and copying the documents folder over. I'm talking about something that's going to really protect your data, even in the case of the worst, a fire, a flood, a tsunami. you got to get Carbonite. It's automatic, so you don't have to remember to do it. It's continuous. It's always backing up when you're online. That means you change a file, it's backed up immediately. And it's off-site. It means it's backing up to the Carbonite cloud where it is safe. Now, it doesn't have to be your only backup. In fact, I would suggest it not be. But it is a great adjunct to whatever you're using currently that gives you great peace of mind. With Carbonite, all your computers are backed up. They also have server plans, external hard drives, small business plans. You can access your Carbonite account anywhere. Just log in on any computer. There's your stuff. You can download it. You can email it. Carbonite has backed up 300 billion files. They've restored, this is an even bigger number, an amazing number, 20 billion files. That means 20 billion files would be lost forever if they hadn't been backed up by Carbonite. Very affordable flat rate plans. You pay once a year for unlimited amount of data. And it's $59.99 a year for one computer. That's a great deal. Start your free trial right now. You don't need a credit card. It's absolutely free. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT. You'll get 2 bonus months when you decide to buy. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right. Do it right. With Carbonite, Dish and Disney do a deal for streaming live TV. Is this a big story? It seems like it is. Dish made an agreement with Disney to open the way so that Dish can live stream ESPN and ABC over the internet to smartphones, tablets, video game consoles, and others.
Well, they just this makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't
they have it. Live streams. I mean, anytime you go on one of the stations, a live stream.
But how's is it making it available to Dish's customer base?
Yeah, so, actually, they have the Dish. They have some program.
A Hopper.
They have a program that you can run it on laptops and iPads and phones.
I think the issue for cord cutters is we can get pretty much every bit of movie and, you know, older TV content. But what about the live stuff? I want to watch football. That's on CBS, unfortunately. But
I don't see why you can't stream it.
As long as you got the internet
service. It depends on what you're watching. Yeah. I mean, like, I watch baseball through MLB.TV. I watch the World Cup via ESPN 3. That's streamed. Yeah, like, what isn't being streamed that they're getting from this?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, remember
Disneyland parades? I mean, what's good?
Which I would pay for.
They did stream the Super Bowl, but you had to be, you had to prove that you, I guess, did you or did you not have to prove that you were getting it normally? Like, you have to log into your cable account.
I didn't try
account.
To log into the Super Bowl this year.
I can't remember.
Last year you did. You had to be
Academy
a Comcast
Awards was a
subscriber.
Nightmare. The Academy Awards was only available in certain markets. It's like they hadn't planned for it, and it didn't work even in those markets. I think that the key for cord cutting is going to be these big signature live events. You don't want to watch later. If you don't watch the Academy Awards or the Super Bowl, you're going to get spoiled immediately, right?
Spoiled.
Spoiled. I like that.
It's my new word.
That's the name of this.
Better than being bingled.
Spoiled.
Dish's chief commercial officer said that Dish's offering will target people ages 18 to 34 who live in apartment buildings, don't have multiple TV sets, and are looking at something that is a lower price that is lower priced and doesn't come with the traditional pay TV commitment.
Yeah,
we already have that.
It's $100 a month for cable.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe we do. Maybe it's not like a big story.
So I missed the persons of interest because I normally DVR everything. So I went on to the internet, to the browser, went to CBS. They have all the shows. Mm-hmm. Clicked on persons of interest. Ran it through a NUC into my projector.
You bought one of those NUCs.
I have a NUC.
Yeah, an Intel NUC.
The new one. I got the hot one.
Computing. Is it, like, cool?
It's very nice.
It's like the size of an Apple TV. It's a hockey puck.
Very
right?
small, and it's got a bunch of USB 3s on it. And it's got a HDMI out. It goes right into the big screen. You hit full screen, boom, you got HD TV streaming right over the internet. It's fine. Yeah.
You know, this is for...
But you're very geeky.
Yeah, I was about to make that point. This is for people who don't... who don't know how to do that stuff and like, oh, Dish Network, that's an established company. I trust them. I will pay them to stream the content that I want from it and I don't need to have cable. And I just, even though they're probably paying Comcast for their internet anyway, it seems very
odd. It doesn't
make
any sense. What I hate is when you get to one of those, a Super Bowl or something, and they tell you, oh, if you're not a Comcast subscriber, you can't watch. It's like when you get to that point, just offer me, I'll pay 99 cents or $2.99 or
micropayments.
They don't want to because they don't want the cable companies to get mad.
Well, that needs to be changed.
They need the cable companies today. They may not need them tomorrow, but they need them today, and they don't want to piss them off. So it's worse than that because HBO Go, for instance, on Apple TV, you just sign into your Comcast account. On a Roku, they say, no, we don't. You can't do it on a Roku. You can do it on some devices. You can get the app. But Xfinity and my Xfinity won't let me use them to validate it, which is frustrating. 60 Minutes piece this week talked about data brokers and ad trackers. We know all about that. People who are collecting your information and using it to target you. And interesting, they actually did a web page on how to protect your privacy, which contains absolutely no information. So
it protects you right there.
There you go. It's a ProPublica piece, though, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they always do a good job.
The kind of the open source model for investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Which NUC do you have?
The one, the high end one that they have on
this. This is a Haswell. This must be it. This is 379 on Newegg. It's got a Haswell i5.
Yeah, that's the one I've got.
Yeah. Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's got Wi-Fi in it. I got a silicon hard disk. It screams. It's a little screamer.
Home theater PC, right? I mean, it's not. You would use it as a desktop.
I use it as a desktop in an emergency when one of my machines crapped out. Yeah. And it works fine. It's a good desktop machine.
Mm. Windows 8?
8.1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Microsoft
XBMC on that.
Accidentally.
That's okay. When you use the add-on software, which is the...
Start menu, what is it called? Start 8.
ClassicShell.org.
That's free. That one's free.
That's the one you want. And then you got a beautiful system. The NUC is great. Get one.
Thank you, John C.
It's a good emergency little machine. It's like this cool little thing.
Run Linux on it.
I got all excited when I saw that the Getty Images were going to make all of its pictures free to use till I found out the way that they're doing it, which is completely ridiculous. I think Getty was influenced by some of these Twitter accounts. What is it? The History in Pictures account? Yeah. It's a great account where you follow them and they have these great old pictures, which they steal basically from Getty and other sites.
Yes.
So Getty realizing, well, obviously people want this stuff. How could we capitalize on the 100 years of images, the thousands, probably millions of images? So they now allow you to do it for free. But what you get is an embed link. So it doesn't work on Twitter.
Mm.
All you can do is get a link or you do an iframe on your web page. It's kind of crappy, frankly. So meanwhile, History in Pictures is going to continue just stealing it.
Yeah, that's the nature of the internet, right? Isn't that?
Nice try. You know, the story of History in Pictures, I read this article on The Atlantic. Kids, I was just kind of, it's two kids.
Yeah.
Xavier is 17 and lives in Australia. Kyle is 19. He's in Hawaii. They've never even met. They met, virtually when they were on YouTube at the 13 and 15. And they've created a company, Swift Fox Labs. They have dozens of employees, 17 and 19 years old. They bring in about $50,000 Australian dollars a month, creating these kind of Twitter accounts. History in Pics is hugely successful, almost 1 million followers. I think they actually crossed 1 million followers. After this article.
How are they generating revenue then?
Yeah. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. Are they bringing in 50,000 Australian dollars? Unless I don't know the conversion rate. That could be like 25 US. I don't know. But it seems like a lot of money. How are they monetizing tweets?
Hmm.
We don't know.
You ask a difficult question. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I
don't know.
Oh.
Well, I'm a subscriber.
Me too. I love it.
Well,
I love seeing these images.
I go crazy.
And shouldn't Getty just say, hey, give us credit on the image. Thank you. And it's a great advertisement for the Getty collection, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to sell this stuff.
So I'm looking for a Getty image that I saw about maybe 10 years ago. And I've never been able to find it again.
Well, go right now and you might be able to get it.
And you can embed it.
No, I mean, I've looked for it to even buy, to license it. I can't find
it. Tell me about it. Let's see.
Okay,
what is it?
Maybe the chat room or somebody out there can find this image for me.
Yeah.
It's a New York image from about 1925, and it shows like a street. It's a street view from high above in one of the buildings, and it shows a corner of a building, and the buildings that are visible in this image are plastered from top to bottom with crappy advertising and billboards. It's the biggest mess you've ever seen. I have not been able to find that image since I saw it once.
Boy, they got a ton of stuff on here.
Keep you up at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously.
I know.
I want to get this copy of this thing.
So
it's
I'm gonna
a great image.
I'm going to get rid of video and do this search. 1920s. and I'm going to look for editorial images. It's probably not a stock image, right? Let's see.
No, it's
editorial images of New York City.
You can't find it. This is just wasting time. The 1920s.
You're right. It's wasting time.
And it just,
these are all in color.
No, it's a black
and
white.
And they're not from the 20s.
No, obviously.
You need
The search engine sucks. Yeah, there you go.
Why am I getting a picture of Carolina Kurakova?
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's what I said. You
that's
can't find
it. Not New
this
York
image.
City. All right. Well, anyway, you got
to
embed it.
Email at john@dvorak.org.
Or chat room, just give it to us.
Well, this guy's got a
Look,
bunch
the
of
guy
them
in the chat room has already
but
found
but
it.
But now it's always scrolled off. I can't
well,
get
let me. How about this one, John? Yeah or no?
I don't think that's it.
Okay.
That's a good one, though.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind having a copy.
Okay. Okay, let's find another one here.
I wouldn't mind having a copy of
how
that.
How about Ephemeral New York? How about, no, that's not it.
No,
that's not it.
That's
like Times Square. That's what it looks like all the time. Very good, though. I think nice find, Jeff Needles. Oh, it's Jeff. Jeff Needles. He's the guy who works here, but we don't pay him. It's a great deal.
It's just like the guy in the Office Space movie.
Yeah, he's got a. We give him a stapler and a room in the basement.
Got a stapler. And he's I'm burning the place down. I'm going to burn it down.
You make me.
I had a written.
Yeah. Keurig. I mentioned I'm going to do that.
Oh yeah, Keurig.
I brought it up. So Keurig.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
They're going to have a reusable cartridge.
DRM in their cartridges. So you know that many printer manufacturers put...
This idiotic. Wait a minute. You're exactly. telling me that this idiotic, stupid, lousy coffee maker, which doesn't do a decent coffee anyway, is not going to DRM their little cups?
They've created a product that has taken off with people, that everyone's buying it. So naturally, you've got other people creating the coffee in the little cups.
Yeah,
that
can plug in,
and they want to not allow others to do that. And so they're going to lock down the platform.
No unlicensed pods. Ever.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's the story of the day.
It's like razor blades, right? I mean, it's not the razor that generates the revenue. Right. It's the razor blades. It's the
Yep.
Yeah, because those Keurigs are just kind of little pieces of plastic.
There's little machines that
just... What happened to my hair?
Yeah.
Did you just muss my hair up and I didn't even know it?
Psychically.
Did you pat me on the head?
I'd say people go crazy for those Keurigs.
Yeah.
They do.
They do. They love them. Yeah. I saw somebody
because
buying
they're
one
convenient,
the other day.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's a convenience.
It's a one shot. I mean, I don't drink coffee, so I can't relate to it. But I guess it's just one cup of coffee, and it's done.
It has
you buy Dunkin' Donuts now.
40% of the market in Canada.
It's
so there.
Poor guys.
But Kraft has the Tassimo system, very similar. Nestle does the Nespresso. Starbucks has one now, the Verissimo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verissimo.
How about getting a cappuccino machine, getting some real beans?
I think you're right.
And making your own damn coffee.
I bring it up a lot. I mentioned that I killed Keurig. And everybody, frequently, people say, well, yeah, I got a Keurig. And I go, it's nice. It's not great coffee. But it has pods.
It. How about
and
hot
it's
water
expensive.
And
it's
grounds.
Actually a very expensive process.
Is it?
50 cents a piece.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're copy protecting them.
Yeah.
That hoverboard, it's fake. You knew that, though. Who didn't know that, right? But
obvious.
The question is, why? Why make this video? This is the video that everybody was, sharing earlier this week from Hover, H-U-V-R, a hoverboard straight out of Back to the Future.
The hoverboard is the
Here comes the DeLorean.
Yeah, that's the giveaway.
Yeah.
That it's fake? No.
Yeah, that's a clue.
No, that's not a clue. They're saying, look, remember in Back to the Future, they had hoverboards?
Yeah,
well,
it was
now
full
we
of
make
crap
them.
In the movie, too.
Christopher Lloyd. But about 25 years ago, I played Dr. Emmett Brown.
They even got Christopher Lloyd.
Wow.
Back to the Future.
Do your birthday party.
He's not moving very fast.
Well, it's slow-mo-ing the poor guy.
The concept of hoverboards to the world. Now, at the time, as much as we all wanted...
And he's cornballing up the voiceover.
It was an impossibility. But I'm proud to announce that thanks to the clever folks with HoverTech, the technology has caught up with the concept.
So,
how could you think this is real, though? It's obviously fake, right?
Well, it says they're completely
it's
real.
It's completely real.
Yeah, they don't lie. It's impossible to lie on the internet.
Why would they make Christopher Lloyd run
the
to a
question is
lot?
Why it's... they did this. Why they... There's Tony Hawk... They paid for Tony Hawk's time.
And
for
he's not cheap.
Lloyd's time. And they did that. What, I mean, is there going to be a movie? There must be. There's something coming, right? There's some reason. Back to the Future 5?
That could be. That's a possibility.
That smooth, you know, it always looked in the movies like it was just awkward. It was going sideways.
Some sort of DVD re-release. They just did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's going. That's where
I can't imagine. Yeah.
A lot of people that are skating nowadays that are adamant skating.
It doesn't even look real.
No.
Look
no.
Did you see that?
It's not even balancing or anything.
So, yeah, I started skating because of Back to the Future.
Tony Hawk is a nice touch, though. For you know.
So
they've got big bucks in this.
Funny or Die is claiming. Just like a that terrorist organization. They're claiming responsibility.
Moby?
Oh, jeez.
Holy cow.
Extensive learning curve.
No, these guys didn't work for... these guys worked for free then just because they were a goof.
There's no precedent for this.
Be available for iPhone and Android devices.
But then again, I'm baffled by most technology.
It was an experience...
Terrell Owens? T.O.? Oh. He's not working much these days.
I guess not.
Jeez.
I felt like I was out of this world.
You can almost see the wire. Yeah, the wire. Yeah.
Only
because
you know.
Only
because you know.
This is really happening.
I didn't believe it.
Schoolboy Q is a rap artist, for those who don't
know. Can fly. I didn't believe it. And this is a crazy board. I love it.
It was crazy.
So what are they, rotoscoping out the... How do they get rid of the... How are they getting rid of that?
Dude, come on. Please.
Professional actors.
Has arrived.
Jeez. Was there a rod, a green screen rod? What are they doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways of doing
it. You can see
this
on their belts. It looks like you can see the harnesses.
Yeah, oh, totally they're harnessed. Yeah. I just saw Moby's harness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good. But how do they do that? I ask you.
Cinematic magic.
All right. So that's
playing
this
into
makes
all of,
great radio.
It's playing right, into all of our dreams of the future.
It's obviously a fake, and I guess I'm told by our chat room, and let me go get that link, that Funny or Die says they did it.
Hornswoggle, Shanghai, bamboozled, hover-duped, swindled, and scat.
Hover-duped.
Now, you may be saying, Chris, what do you mean? You were there.
Yeah.
Sure, you saw the wires and cranes and effects people. But I say I was blinded by my own belief. My brain must have been...
All right, that's actually pretty funny.
That is funny. He's hilarious.
Let's just leave it at that. They tricked me. Anyway, here's what I did to make things better. I marched over to Funny or Die and made them give me the hoverboard that I... and all the other folks sign on.
Oh, they're going to raise money for charity now.
This belongs to the people, not in some dusty old storage unit. So apparently, if you still have a Facebook account...
Oh, God.
You should go.
All right, just stop it right here. There's something much more exciting on TV any minute now. Cosmos is back.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is rebooting Cosmos with National Geographic Channel. Fox will be airing it tonight. I think it's 9 p.m. local
with
time.
With Seth MacFarlane.
What?
He's the one producing it.
Oh, no.
You didn't know that?
That's great. Is there going to be comedy?
Really? Apparently not, but maybe.
Huh. 9 p.m. Eastern and
Check
Pacific
it out.
On
it's
Fox.
Seth MacFarlane's behind this.
He probably just put the money into it, right?
Yeah. I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson's pretty funny.
It's fabulous.
By himself.
So. Yeah, maybe they're just having a great old time.
So I know everybody
maybe it's
wants
a hoax.
To run along and do that, so we're going to wrap this thing up. Marvel adds sounds to comics. What do you think of that, Ron?
Gimmick.
It's all gimmicky.
People have been experimenting with sounds and stuff like that in comics, and I wasn't surprised to see this announced at South by Southwest.
You'd have to watch it on a tablet, though, right?
It's got to be on a tablet. It's not in the physical comics, but you know, Marvel has a lot of money with Disney, so they're free to experiment on these things.
It.
But it's got to be a good story.
I was kind of hoping it was DC because I finally wanted to hear what the Batman kapow sounded like. You know, because you hear it in your head.
Well, they actually have a Batman.
What does it really sound like, though?
I think you got it, actually.
Is that how it's kapow?
Yeah.
I actually watched 300 last night. That was brought to life.
The new one or
Frank
the old one?
New one? Well, I'm getting ready for the new one. Right? Frank Miller's rebooting, not rebooting, but bringing a sequel, which is a prequel, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. Prequel sequel. There's
prequel
a,
sequel.
It's a little bit of both, actually. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
That's going to be good.
Have you been watching True Detective?
Yeah, that's the other thing tonight. We're going to find out whether that's a crap show or a good one.
It's a great show.
It's been fantastic.
I don't know. You may not feel the same way after tonight's episode.
I talked to my buddy who's
It was
HBO.
A dream.
The jury is still out on this. It could be just a stupid old police procedural that looked like it was something cool.
I asked my friend at HBO, I said, is this going to pay off? And he said, absolutely. Admittedly, he's biased because he's at HBO, but he said it pays off.
Well, that is the key, right? I mean, the last couple episodes kind of weak. I love the acting.
I thought episode 8 was great.
I feel like it's turning into NCIS.
No, there's no way. They're not doing anything with microscopes.
All right. Well, we'll have to see.
I don't think you've tonight, even watched tonight will one be the episode.
Night. Tonight will be the night. Ron, it's great to have you. Ron Richards is a regular on All About Android.
Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific-ish.
If Leo gets out of the way.
Yeah.
But, anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, just check out Image Comics at imagecomics.com, where we've got some great digital comics available for sale.
Will there be any digital sound effects?
No sound effects, unfortunately.
Sound effects free comics.
Yes, exactly. And there's a great podcast if you like comics. Check out Let's Talk Comics by my buddy Jim. He does a really good show. It's a new podcast, so definitely check it out.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Same for you, Aaron.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Always wonderful to have Aaron Newcomb. He usually brings donuts. Today he brought...
Well, you know, McDonald's coffee.
Cafe.
And just for me. I didn't...
Not made for your...
Didn't mean to share it either, yeah.
Okay, thank you. You can have that back.
Yeah, no time to get the donuts, unfortunately.
NetApp.com?
NetApp.com is where I spend my days working hard on storage marketing stuff. But, of course, after hours, you can find me here on the Twit Network. Floss Weekly and All About Android occasionally. When Ron's busy, you know, they call me up. Hey, Ron's not here. Can you come in? Yeah, sure.
I appreciate it. Last week, I was in Baltimore.
Yeah, I was here last week.
You filled in for me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was very good. Grateful. It was good. So I always do that.
Thank you.
Also, a quick plug, if anyone's interested, if they're in the Solano County, California area, we're starting up a new makerspace. I've mentioned this on a couple of the other shows in Benicia, my hometown. So if you're interested in a hackerspace or makerspace and you live in that area, you know, Antioch, Pittsburgh, Martinez, California, come check us out.
Love this stuff. Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. John C. Dvorak, noagendashow.com. You can catch that Thursdays and Sundays. Become a Knight of the Old Republic by
the
giving
No Agenda Roundtable.
The No Agenda Roundtable.
Yes.
$1,000.
Well, that's what, yeah.
Just money.
Well, people love it. We have hundreds of knights.
And when you go to Malta, you get treated extra special.
Malted?
Malta.
Oh, yeah.
You get a malted.
It's a fact.
Malta. Yeah, it's a fact.
And also Dvorak.org/NA for donors and Dvorak.org/blog for bloggers and channeldvorak.com for whatever.
Do you think it might be easier to find you if you just had one site?
No.
No. Okay. Just checking.
It's like you having just one show.
You can't do it.
You could.
Can't do it. They're like salted peanuts.
Yeah.
I got to keep launching shows.
That's going to happen.
We thank you all for being here, especially to our Ouija's. Nice to have you in the studio live. And all of you who joined us live over the internet. We do this show 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
I'm jumping on a plane. I'm going down to South by Southwest.
No. Are you really?
Yeah.
No.
I'll be tweeting.
Are you going down to see Snowden?
I'm going to be tweeting my head off at South by Southwest.
In between parties.
Check me out on Twitter.
At the real Dvorak.
At the real Dvorak.
At the real Dvorak. And by the way, we should take we have a little pool of how long before Skype drops Edward Snowden.
Mm.
Oh.
And after which point?
Right off.
Will the NSA just go?
Right off, right at the beginning.
Cut him off!
Yeah.
We do this show, as I mentioned, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC. If you want to join us live, we love it in the chat room and so forth. You can do the Photoshop things and all sorts of stuff. Help John find that. Here's another one. Another picture of Times Square with lots of ads from Retronaut. Let's see. This is the one. This is the one, John, isn't it?
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep.
Nice.
That is the one.
Wow.
Very nice job, chat room.
Magic.
Thank you.
Mail that to me, John at Dvorak.org, that link.
John at Dvorak.org. Everybody send him email.
Hey, I don't get any spam. It's not a problem. I'm not one of those freaks. Oh, dot. You write dot out. You're all freaked out. Some scraper's going to get your email address. I have no problems.
That's
no
because worry. You're still running Windows XP.
No worry. Thank you.
CTYME.com.
That was Andy in Andy Jur. I guess he's Andy in Germany, I would guess, who came up with that one. Here's another one. Boy, there's a lot of these.
There's a lot of these.
That's newer. That's the 70s, though. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, look at that hat.
No, that one shot is the one. It's a killer. Yeah.
Very nice.
Those old time
put that in your put that in your speeches. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit
this is
in the can.